Dios mío, I believe is the phrase. That was an ass kicking.
Oh, man. Yeah, anytime you begin an episode with the sad sigh as the actual introduction, when we usually try to begin with high energy, that's indicative of the way the game went.
You know the US has lost.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Quick Take Hot Take of USA 2, Colombia 4. Mm-hmm. For those who are unaware, we do this sort of immediately after full time. So what, a few minutes after full time here. We'll have a full review of USA 2, Colombia 4 later this evening. Mm-hmm. So the long take is coming later. This is our immediate reaction.
Yes, it is.
I don't know where to start, except to say that we don't have a Hammers and they have a Hammers.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. So we should say, USA losing 4-2. And I would say I would like to start with what we're looking at on the screen frozen right now. The future is, and I find it really frustrating. But just to start with, a year on from the USA failing to qualify, losing to Trinidad, a year and a day on, I suppose, to kind of have like all of like the future is marketing. That's what I'm pointing at in the banner on the
screen.
The
future is us, it says.
Yeah, whatever.
By the way, that wordplay has never worked for me.
It is
using
not.
US
no.
as us.
No. Yeah. And just so much of that, like what, like the next generation series or whatever this is being billed as.
The kickoff series.
Yeah, and it just feels like the kickoff to what? And it just seems like that was very tone deaf from US soccer, especially given that it's an interim manager. And I feel like, you double the scoreline from the Trinidad game and it felt like, some of those problems are still there.
Yep.
And that's kind of where I'm coming from, at least right now. Maybe when we rewatch some stuff, I'll feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But right now, it feels like this. I'm frustrated with U.S. soccer for this result.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let's dig into your emotions a little bit more then. Why are you frustrated with U.S. soccer specifically? Because my beef would be with maybe Dave Sarakan and the fact that a lot of problems that I think you and I spotted on TV, like the fact that they absolutely worked our left backs, right?
Yeah.
First Anthony Robinson and then Ben Sweat both got worked by the overlap from Arias. We don't quite know how they managed to do that so regularly, but it was clearly a thing that was targeted and happening.
That's the thing. I would change the verb from worked to targeted. And I think that Colombia watched footage from the Brazil game and saw that the U.S.'s left side was vulnerable and could be had and was had. And my frustration is I agree with you completely that it was obvious to us, and it feels like Dave Sarakan either didn't address it, didn't see it as an issue, or thought he addressed it, or the players just didn't do what he wanted. Either way, it's an issue. And I think that's where I go back to my frustration is with U.S. soccer is that – yes, he got some results early on, but the more we've watched Dave Sarakan, the more we've seen that he doesn't have the ability to adjust on the fly. He doesn't make some of the changes that we would like to see made. And it feels like, again, he's an interim manager. And so U.S. soccer, a year on, for us to be, I would say, embarrassed by Colombia, it speaks to me of like, you guys know that this isn't right and you're still doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue it's not as if they're giving Dave Sarakan a go as if he's going to be the full-time coach, right? But you're more just frustrated that we're still waiting for a full-time coach. And in the meantime, we've got a bunch of games scheduled. And we've scheduled them against really good opponents who are like coming to our house and embarrassing us.
And if I'm being like very honest in my emotions, I think part of it is that I really talked myself into this game. Like I not talked myself into, oh, we're going to win it. Mm-hmm. But I had started to feel like, why are we playing these friendlies? Like, what are we doing? Until we have a coach, until we know what we're doing and have a game plan for how we're going to proceed, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
But we did the show. I kind of got excited about
show?
Yeah, I got excited about like, okay, we're going to see some
Jonathan
new faces.
Amen.
Yeah, oh, John, I can't wait to see Jonathan Amon. He's going to be so good. But I felt a little bit up for this one. And it felt like, okay, we're seeing some things. There's that comeback. That's really exciting.
Yeah, and there was a 10-minute start here where we were like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But outside of that, I think all that is to say that at the end of it, I just feel sort of had. I feel
you
like
feel had.
I got myself like, okay, it could be exciting. It could be a good game.
Is it because you tried to watch this at 7:30 p.m. Eastern?
That could be. That's why. I suckered in 20 minutes early. No, it just feels like I was starting to feel like, what's the point of this until we have a manager? But I talked myself into like, okay, maybe it's going to be good. I believe in the team. And then here we are. And I think because I had that belief, it's that much more frustrating.
Okay. I don't disagree with any of those emotions.
Okay.
How about that? I can't help my head going to the idea of how we got this so wrong and managed to concede four goals.
Sure.
And the thing that sticks in my head is whenever I saw the US in their shape in the first half, it was like when Colombia had the ball, the US seemed to be in a sort of 4-2-4 And yep. we had, what, Bobby Wood. And then Julian Green, I think, was supposed to be like a number 10, but he basically played as a second forward, right? Right up alongside him. And then...
Just to clarify, you're not saying like he was doing something he wasn't supposed to. We thought it was like a 4-2-3-1 with Julian Green there, but he oftentimes was, like a second striker.
Yeah, and we seemed to try and put that pressure on them, right? So Wood and Green and Kenny Saif and Tim Weah would be up and put pressure. And I think there was too much of a big gap then between that front four and then Bradley and Acosta as the two centre midfielders and then the US back four. It was always too easy for someone like James to find space in between our lines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like right there, you've just kind of hit the nail on the head that it's too much space that we had moments when our back line was maybe 5 yards from our own 18. And then we still had our forward line maybe 10 yards on the other side of the half. But it was still in a very rigid 4-4-2, which are 4-2-4, I suppose, which means there's tons of space between those lines. But then I would even take issue with you saying that like we were putting them under pressure. It felt like almost this like, haha, we've got four people across the front. What were you possibly... Oh, you played past us? Oh. Well, we didn't see that coming.
Well, actually, and then there's the scramble backwards to try and get back in shape, and then we're always on the back foot. And I think, obviously, we'll rewatch, but I think that might be part of the reason why our fullbacks were always scrambling and out of position is because they didn't have the necessary cover in front of them to begin with. Mm-hmm. We'll test that theory when we rewatch.
Yeah, that works for me. And I would... Sorry, I would just add that, like, another aspect that I found frustrating is, look, I know there was lots of opinion about Michael Bradley.
Yeah, we saw it on Twitter.
And I don't really have that much to say about him right now in the quick take. I look forward to watching it again and maybe paying a little more attention to him specifically. But I did find it very telling that right before the second half began, we saw him giving a very emphatic team talk. Mm-hmm. Everybody surrounding him, definitely the gestures indicating, like, we got to go at them, we got to press them, we got to put them under pressure.
Yeah.
And the fact that that happened coming out of halftime, it either means to me that like Michael Bradley wanted to a visible sign that he was still the leader. Maybe that's the case. Or maybe it's the case that whatever was said in the locker room, the team came out and said, we still have no idea what we're doing or how to deal with this. We got to figure something out.
Because there was briefly, for 10 minutes, there was a narrative that Bradley seemed to take control at that sort of pre-second half kickoff team talk. Definitely a lot of gesturing forward. It did seem to be... let's tighten those lines up. If we're going to press, let's all do it and get the back line high and get the midfield high so we actually put some pressure on. And then we score two goals.
Yeah.
So in my head, I was like, oh, this could be the Bradley redemption game. Because he had the pass out to Robinson, I believe, before the cross. Not that it was a brilliant pass, but you know what I mean, for the first goal, right? Yeah. So for the Acosta goal.
But it's a forward pass into a relatively dangerous space. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a rarity in this game.
But then after that, the whole thing fell apart. And I'll be interested to see is the systemic problems we saw where Colombia were able to find space definitely down our left side, and also just in all kinds of pockets of space. How much of that is Michael Bradley's fault and Kellyn Acosta's fault, like either or how much is it a wider systemic thing? So I want to actually watch this, and because we've seen all the we got a load of tweets coming in, people being mad about Michael Bradley just because I guess everybody just wants to focus their anger there. I'm not sure it's the right place, but I want to really pay attention and watch to see if he is to blame or if he was trying to cover holes that other people were leaving.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see if there were more bright spots than I think, because right now, that's the other thing as to why I think I'm sort of like negative about this performance, not just the result, but that like heading into it before kickoff happened, like we were really excited about the fact that we could name the USA's back four and their goalkeeper. We got that right. We got more or less the team right, but like that we knew that was how it was going to be. And just the fact that leaving this game, I'm sort of like, well, is that the back line that I want to see going forward? Mm-hmm. It sort of feels like even the stuff that I thought we had answers to, or we at least had a foundation for how we move forward, I'm now looking at that foundation again and wondering, like, is that going to work? Or do we need to change the personnel again? Or maybe it is just that the system didn't work. All of that leads to more questions.
The final thing I would say before we end this quick take and go and do the big review is I think we need to accept that the current status of the US men's national team is such that when we go up against someone like Colombia, we really should have had a third central midfielder and not Julian Green playing as an attacker. I'm not even blaming Julian Green. It's not his fault because he really is an attacking player, right?
Yeah.
That's what I really would have just preferred, like Bradley Acosta Trapp or Bradley Acosta Delgado or three centre mids to try and hold up that middle.
Yeah.
We tried to go a little bit more toe-to-toe with Colombia and we got passed around.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that we talked about this a little bit off-air, but if you're playing what's that?
I just thought of a pun in my own head. So.
I was worried like what thing we talked about off-air. Like, did I curse? Did I yell a bunch? Is that what happened? Is that why you're laughing?
Can I share it with you now so that I don't ruin the long show with it?
I mean, you're already ruining the show by putting a pun in, but go ahead.
when you have a James, everything looks like it's going to get nailed.
Is that a James hammer? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
That is a stretch, sir. That is a stretch.
It is, but it's still
you can't take
good.
One syllable of a word. That's you. All right, you're in the shame corner for a moment. but I think when you're playing,
when you have a James, all our players look like snails. No, it's worse.
You're going to sit in
better
that.
Or worse.
You're going to sit in that. Is what's going to happen. What I was going to say is that when you're playing a superior opponent, I think if you know that going in, and I think we knew that going in, they have Radamel Falcao and James Rodriguez. Uh-huh. There you go. You can beat that team. Obviously, any team can win on any given day, but you have to be prepared. You have to have a plan. You have to know what you're doing. And if you don't do that, you're going to run into trouble. And it feels like the United States went at this game sort of thinking, yeah, they're probably better, but we might be able to compete. So let's just try some stuff. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel like there was a solid game plan for what everyone was trying to do. And as a result, it constantly looked to me like everybody was just trying to put out fires.
I'd slightly disagree with you, only to say that similar to the Mexico game, mm-hmm. sorry, similar to the Brazil game, there was a plan.
Yeah.
The plan clearly wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't really change the plan.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, like I would have liked to have seen an idea of, okay, we're going to tighten this up on the left side.
Certainly,
after 15 minutes.
Certainly there's always going to be a plan. What I mean to say is that I feel like so many of the problems we saw were so consistently problems mm-hmm. that it didn't feel to me like there was ever that next level of, okay, when this player goes inside, you're going to stay wide, but now the fullback's going to track him in. But if the situation reverses, like there wasn't that next level of the briefing. Mm-hmm. So it felt
is
like
that why we saw
Mark
players-
James Rodriguez. And then as soon as he wasn't marked, everybody was like, oh no, we aren't doing plan one.
Is that why we saw a lot of players maybe caught between this player and that player?
I think so.
And sort of in
yeah.
between players and half, and
yeah.
they just took advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's how I would phrase a lot of the problems for this game.
It felt like they were set up in a system that they didn't quite understand.
Yeah.
And then once they didn't understand, they didn't know how to deal with the issues because they've been told, no, you don't go out wide. But if there's a problem out wide and you've been explicitly told, don't go there,
yeah.
what do you do?
You go there hesitantly.
Exactly.
And then more problems happen.
Exactly.
All right, that feels like a good point to end the quick take, hot take. We'll be back in, I don't know, sometime later this evening,
yeah.
Possibly tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. depending on there's a lot of rain here
yeah.
in Richmond, Virginia right now. We don't know what the weather's going to do.
Yeah.
You might even be able to hear it against the window. So the long take will either be out tonight or tomorrow. Thank you for joining us for the quick take, hot take. We'll talk to you again soon.